Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hi everyone, and welcome back to my Teaching Autism and Special Education podcast. I am so excited to have you here and listening to another one of my podcast episodes. Today, I'm going to be talking all about errorless learning. I often get asked, why should we bother doing errorless learning? Or what are the actual benefits of doing something that our children can't do wrong? Well, today I'm going to be telling you what errorless learning is and the benefits it has when used with your students. So first, what is errorless learning? Errorless learning is pretty much what it sounds like. It's where students will complete a learning activity that is going to be correct always. They cannot get a wrong answer. When taking part in an errorless learning activity, you can provide your students with prompts, and this will help them to understand what needs to be completed and give the required response. However, over time, your child will get used to this type of activity and they'll know what's expected of them, and you can start withdrawing those prompts, following the correct prompting process. Errorless learning can be used with any child in any classroom or learning environment. However, I always find it really beneficial to use when we have very young children starting with us. These children may never have been to any sort of school or education environment before. They've probably never even sat at a desk and completed a work activity. So this is where I find errorless learning probably the most helpful in my classroom with my students. Errorless learning activities are usually quick to complete, and myself, I use file folder activities and task boxes, and my students love these activities. These activities help my students to work on sitting at a desk and paying attention to an activity. However, it will also help them to feel more comfortable and positive when working on their first activity. If they've never worked before, chances are they probably don't even know what you're asking of them or how to complete the activity in front of them. This is where you can provide appropriate prompts and support them in completing the activity. Remember, do not over-prompt and give your student a chance to process the instruction you've given and the activity in front of them, rather than continuing to prompt every few seconds. Errorless learning is great for this because it means the only praise your student is going to get is positive. They can't do anything wrong. The answer will always be correct. This will make our children feel good. It helps them feel successful, and when they get an answer right, they're going to feel proud of themselves. And all of these happy and positive emotions will make working a more positive experience for your students. This is especially great if you have students who just can't cope or handle when they make a mistake. You can ease them into work activities by providing them with errorless learning activities where they're always going to be successful. This will help them build a more positive experience with work and their confidence will grow. Then in the future, you can move on to non-errorless learning activities. It's all about building up their confidence and that positive work experience. Another common question that I get is, what type of activities can I use for errorless learning? Do I need to make something new? Chances are you probably will have to create something new if you don't have anything that's suitable for errorless learning right now. These can be adapted books, file folders, task box activities, and even task cards. They can even be hands-on games, like fishing for fish using a magnetic fishing rod and pulling out all the red fish, because you're only going to put the red fish into the water area. There's no room for error. They're always going to be successful. In my class, we love using file folder activities, and right now we are working on farm animals. This time of year is always about the farm for us because we always visit the farm for our end of year trip. By completing these activities, it gets my students used to different farm animals and what they may see at the farm. It also helps them get excited for our upcoming trip, and it keeps them working during this crazy end of year time. Another one of my favourite ways to incorporate errorless learning into my classroom is by using task boxes. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll probably see a lot of my task boxes being shared that I use with my students every month. At the start of the year, I always provide my students with some errorless learning task boxes. This is great for new students who may have never worked before or students who've never used task boxes before. It helps them get used to different hands-on activities, what task boxes are, and again, it provides them with that positive experience where they're being successful, they're getting the answers correct, and there's no room for error. From here, you can progress through the year. After that first month of using errorless learning task boxes, usually most of my children are ready to move on to non-errorless learning task boxes. If I have some students who could maybe still do with working on a few more errorless learning activities, I just rotate them through the ready-made ones and mix in a few non-errorless learning activities to get them used to these too. When my students are completing the errorless learning activities with ease and independently, I do fade these out. If I have a child who may regress through the year, which could be down to a million reasons, even toilet training can have an effect on some of my students for their learning. So I'll sometimes pull back out these errorless learning activities if I feel it will help. However, if a child starts to rely heavily on errorless learning and they don't want to stop, try and slowly transition away from these. Start by doing two errorless learning activities and one non-errorless learning activity. Then do one errorless learning activity and one non-errorless learning activity. Then one errorless learning activity and two non-errorless learning activities. So you're slowly completing more of the non-errorless learning activities and you're fading out those errorless ones. A lot of people often get confused about how they can record data when students are completing errorless learning activities. Although the children can't make any errors, there's still a lot of data that you can take away from errorless learning activities. You can record how long students can sit and pay attention to the activity for, how many prompts do they need, and if prompting was needed, what type of prompting was it? Was it verbal, gestural, or physical? Verbal prompting is pretty much as it sounds. It's where you've verbally prompted the child. You've told them what to do. Gestural, this could be where you point with your hand or your fingers. Some of my children even respond for gestural prompting if I use my eyes to look back to the activity to prompt them to stay back on task. Physical, this is usually hand over hand. So if I have a child who is really struggling to know what to do, I may put their hand in my hand and bring it to where I need them to go. I may put the activity part, if there's a symbol piece, into their hand and I'll guide the hand to where I want it to go on the activity. As with most things, there can be some negative effects from errorless learning, and one can be if prompts are overused and our students become over-dependent on them. This will mean they'll wait for your prompt before they do anything. So remember to always follow the prompt protocol and never over-prompt your students. And once they start becoming more independent, withdraw those prompts. Take them away if you can. Lessen them. You want your students to become independent. You want them to be successful, independent learners. They cannot be relying on you all the time for all their work activities. I want you to take away from this podcast today the following positives about using errorless learning in your classroom. 1. It makes your students more successful. And this will make them feel good about themselves. It will boost their confidence. And this also helps to make a more positive experience for them with learning and work activities. 2. It gets your students used to working, especially if, like me, you have students come in at a young age and this is the first time they've ever been in school or a learning environment. It helps them get ready to learn, practice sitting at a desk and doing different work activities. 3. It takes away any frustration from students who struggle with their confidence or can't cope with making a mistake by providing them with an errorless learning opportunity where they can't be wrong. They're always going to be successful. 4. A lot of teachers and professionals state that the repetition that's involved with errorless learning actually helps to make the child more successful in the future. It helps them remember how to complete activities and know how to work and what's expected of them. 5. All of these positive benefits from errorless learning help keep your students engaged. The activity is hopefully going to be fun for them. It's interesting. It's engaging. They feel successful when they complete it. They're not making any errors. By keeping your students engaged, this will hopefully have a knock-on effect on any of the behaviours that you witness when completing work activities, especially students who may elope and try to leave the room when work is mentioned. Try and find the function of that behaviour. I had a child who used to elope from the room because he couldn't handle getting things wrong. He didn't want to upset anyone. He didn't want to feel like his teacher thought he was doing things wrong. When we finally got to the bottom of this and we introduced errorless learning, the elopement behaviours decreased and decreased until the point he wasn't eloping anymore. His confidence had grown. He was happy to work on errorless learning activities. And as we built his confidence with those errorless learning activities, it built his confidence when we moved on to non-errorless learning activities. Is endless learning something that you use in your classroom? Or has this podcast helped you realize that maybe you have a student or even students in your learning environment who would benefit maybe trialing endless learning activities and rather than continuing where they are now? Let me know by leaving a comment on this podcast on my website, teachingautism.co.uk/podcast, or get in touch with me on social media or via email at contact@teachingautism.co.uk. If you have any questions or you'd like to pass on some feedback or information or benefits that this has had with your students, I love to hear from you. I am so excited to continuously be receiving so many lovely comments from you all for how helpful you've been finding these podcast episodes. Next week, we have a behaviour specialist on the podcast, and I am so excited for you to hear that episode. If you are looking for some endless learning activities, be sure to check out my website, teachingautism.co.uk, or find me on Teachers Pay Teachers under Teaching Autism. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.